Get the scoop on Tigers today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Tigers SRD Sunday version. As just wanted to kind of clear up exactly logistically how this is all going to work going forward. Till the end of the minor league season, we're basically going to do a podcast every Sunday night into Monday. And there's going to be a podcast dropping on Monday, and then there'll be a podcast dropping on Friday. But the Monday podcast is all minor league stuff. We'll talk about, you know, we can talk about Johnson's scope deal, which is, you know, 2 years. And we can talk about that really briefly, but we're going to do three up, three down for each of the minor league teams. Affiliate ball is going to be a little different, but we're going to talk about what we like and what we saw. Chris and I are going to talk about what we saw on Friday. And also we're going to just give an update on some of the draftees that have been starting up in the Complex League and Lakeland. So without further ado, gentlemen, how are you guys doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to kind of run through these minor leagues and be here. So thanks.
I'm excited to talk about it. I'm excited to talk about what we saw on Friday. You know, we briefly touched on it in our little 2 minute video. But mm-hmm. Sundays are like the pool day around here. People come over and swim. So I've been outside all day. Haven't been keeping up too much, but I'm excited to get into the baseball. You take a break from it and you want to get back into it quickly.
Yeah, I end up taking a nap in between the game towards the Tigers game when they tied the game. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to sleep for a little while. And then I watched a little bit of the Erie game where Riley Green hit the home run and Spencer Torkelson, they routed a really bad Harrisburg does not have any pitching.
Well, I think today was Carrillo, right? The one of the kids they got in the Turner Scherzer deal,
yeah,
Gerardo
yeah.
Carrillo. But yeah, I think he's generally considered more of a relief prospect anyway. So outside of Cavalli, I don't think there's a whole lot of talent there.
And the biggest takeaway I got from Harrisburg too, is that even the bats too are not really, I mean, it's going to take a while before the Nationals or minor league system turns something over.
Yeah.
But,
I'm also not a big fan of that broadcast.
Horrible camera work. Oh my God. It was like, the amateur hour in that camera work. What the hell is going on?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just like poor lighting, poor camera work. The announcers aren't all that great. I mean, they weren't terrible, but you know, we've discussed before that not every minor league team is of A+ quality. You know, looking at you, Bowie.
No, I mean, look at the team of Greg and Matt down in Erie, which done a really fantastic job. The Toledo announcers have been there for 34 years, is that right?
I don't. Yeah, I mean, sound like it. I don't know. I don't mean to be mean, but yeah, he sounds like, you know, this guy who's seen some things. And of course, Dan and Nate out in West Michigan. You know, we're fortunate that we have a lot of good announcers.
Yeah,
in the system.
Does anybody do anybody Lakeland? No one does Lakeland games.
Boy, I don't know. It's such a black hole down there in the former Florida State League.
Yeah. I was going to say, because I wouldn't, you know, I've been thinking about this for a while. Somebody mentioned it on Twitter, thought it'd be a good idea for you and I to call a game. And I'm actually down to I would love anyone listening out there who has any connection to call a game. I'd love to call a game and just get some time.
Boy, I have a feeling that I would do terribly at that, but it would be fun. I don't know. We'd call the Lakeland game via like StatCast, like, oh, and that one looks like it's got 14 inches of vertical break. And
I'll be the female.
Yeah, it's in play.
There's a fly ball to the left. Wait a minute. Yeah. All right, that's gone. Yeah. No,
actually, maybe I could be like the Johnny Cane. Maybe I'll just go to like random people in my house and just like talk to them. Say, hey, what are you up to? And get back to you guys. Just find a little bit of a break.
Your wife looks at you like the same thing I was doing last time.
Yeah.
All right, back to you guys.
Back to you.
Just head down to a bar and find a group of drunk women. That's the old standby for Johnny.
Hey-o. Every time I was trying to get a clip or watch the Erie game. It was frustrating because I'm like, what just happened? I heard the sound. Even I think there were fake, there was a fake bat sound. I really believe that because there was a swing. It did the clock sound, that sound before it swung.
Yeah. I think it could be that. They could be doing that. We know that Jesse does that every now and then up in Lansing just for fun. He does the sound effects. But I think it's a delay between the video and the audio. I think we see that in Tigers games too, if you're watching on TV, because Shep will start calling the strikeout, particularly before the pitch gets there. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, he got him. And it's like, wait a minute. Oh, okay. So
I was getting that on the stream the other day as well. Yeah, same thing. It's like either he has like incredible intuition or.
Yeah, I'm thinking his monitor's a little faster than what we're seeing.
But yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. So anyway, let's start with three up and three down in Toledo as the Mud Hens were coming into play in tie for first place in the Triple A. So I really don't like the names of this. Honestly, I wish they would have done like a better job of like even it's lazy. It just sounds really lazy.
There will be, we talked about before, I think there will be corporate sponsorships at some point soon. It'll be the, you know, the Cousins Glass League or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, I believe it's the AAA East Midwest Division.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, AAA East Midwest Division. They were coming in and tied in with first place with run differential of 64. They've just been pounding the ball right now, but as it's coming into play tonight, they're tied 2-2 with the Nashville Sounds, and they are now one back of Omaha, which is the Kansas City affiliate, as Omaha has, again, been hitting. They've been hitting the ball pretty well as well, but Toledo just been mashing, and we'll get to that here in a second. But if they named it the AAA Midwest Triple A East Taco Bell Division, I mean, like Dana Carvey presents, or Dana Taco Bell presents the Dana Carvey Show. If you haven't watched the documentary, though, but
Diet Mr. Pibb.
Yeah, you can do it by this. You can do it by like convenience stores. So, for example, AAA East Northeastern Division. Okay, so it's like Scranton, Buffalo, Worcester, Lehigh Valley, Rochester, and Syracuse. How about the AAA East Wawa Division? Because Wawa's out that way. Mm-hmm. So, and then you got the AAA Southeastern Division. Okay, what's popping in Southeast?
Bojangles, Sheet. Gotta wear sheets.
Yeah, Piggies, or was it what's the name of the Lincoln complex?
I was thinking of the grocery store, Piggly Wigglies or whatever.
Name the Southeastern Division the Piggly Wiggly, and then AAA East Midwest Division, the 7-Eleven Division, because everywhere, you know, there's 7-Eleven. But I don't know if there is in Iowa, but I know there's a come and go, KUM.
That's tough. I don't know.
I'm not making that up, folks. Google.
No, I've seen them. I've seen them in other places too. But I don't know. It'll happen. I think at some point they will need to do something, because I still want to call it the International League and the Midwest League and the Florida State League. That was all fine for me. The Eastern League, it made sense. So I don't know. Toledo has just kind of been quietly contending all year. I can't remember them getting on like any super hot streaks or really scuffling too much. This is kind of up and down this week. They got blown out a couple times, but then they also had an epic comeback on Friday when we were out in Grand Rapids. I was checking and they scored like 5 runs in the 8th inning or something like that to come back and win. So I don't know. They've got some like, you know, classic AAA mashers down there. Renato Nunez hit another home run tonight. I think he's got 18 now, 17. Mm-hmm. He was one of my players who's up.
Yeah, he's.
Although it's still like, it's like 10 or 11, 10 or 11 strikeouts in one walk, you know, so.
In terms of even like Christian Stewart. And so Christian Stewart had three home runs?
Three homers in that game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so Christian Stewart's definitely on your player up. I mean, in terms of even, so a lot of like Lynn Henning made a really, I don't know if you guys saw that Lynn Henning comment.
Mm-hmm. No,
you saw that, right? So Chris, he said, if it wasn't for Miguel Cabrera being in the way, he could be the next DH. And that was very cringeworthy.
Yeah, I mean,
well, that's his only path. I mean, realistically, yeah. Like, there's not really a defensive home for him. So, like, if he's mashing, like, he's going to be a DH because the defense is so, like, down. You'd only bring him up for his bat. You're not bringing him up to, you know, be a defensive replacement in the ninth inning.
No, that's and particularly with the, you know, kind of younger, exciting outfielders that they have. They're not going to put him out. They're not going to, you know, you know, crowbar him into the outfield just to get him in the, and we saw him in the majors and he didn't hit. I mean, it's possible they'll give him another chance at some point, but
I mean, he's still putting up a 250 batting average, but there was a, I saw something on Twitter that I wanted to ask you guys about that pertains to Christian Stewart, because in the last, I'm going back the last 2 weeks, he's had 3 walks over 14 strikeouts, and somebody said that in terms of prospects, and I'm interpreting this word for word, but that walk rates don't matter in the minor leagues that much because based off the different various leagues with strike zones and everything. And I kind of thought about that for a minute because it is easier in some, depending on what league you're in, it's sometimes you walk less or walk more depending on what they're trying to do. For example, the Atlantic League numbers, you can screw them up, throw them out the door. You don't know what the hell's going on there. But is there something to that? Because I mean, I still think that Christian Stewart is what he is. He's a guy who will strike out a lot, not play. I mean, at a 30% clip. And I mean, the numbers kind of reflect that now. 7 home runs and 15 RBIs in the last 2 weeks. That's great, but it's Triple A. And if you're not, I mean, if he was hitting that, if he had like maybe 10 walks to 11 strikeouts and was hitting over 300, then I'm like, okay, well, then the consideration. But I was just wondering what you guys thought about that.
Yeah, for me, it's like kind of why, you know, evaluation is important. You know, and AAA, you got guys that are actually filling the zone a little bit. So that helps. But you still have to kind of look and see, you know, at bat, pitcher per pitcher, like what is he seeing? How is he handling, you know, even average off speed stuff? Is he able to spit on that? Is he hitting off speed at all? You know, is he swinging over it? So I think all of that kind of plays in where you can make some conclusions based off of it. You just have to watch the games. You know, you just can't look at the numbers and say, ooh, sparkly walk rate, and then, you know, assume that he has a good eye, because that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah. And I think it basically works one way. Like, if somebody's not walking down in the minors, I think that's important. I don't think they suddenly, like, hey, suddenly starts walking in the majors when he doesn't walk in the minors. But walking a ton of minors, as Jake was saying, doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to continue in the majors. I think there have been a bunch of guys over the years who had like these terrific walk rates in the minors, and then for whatever reason didn't hit in the majors. Like, who is that? Lars Anderson, who was a big Boston prospect for a long time, and he may have ended up in I'm thinking of him. Also, Derek Barton. Do you remember Derek Barton at all? He was a big time prospect, first baseman who walked like more than he struck out, but never hit for any power. And for the Tigers, I mean, Ryan Strebe once had a bunch of walks in high A. Back then it was high A Lakeland, but it was just because pitchers were afraid of him hitting runs. So they didn't throw strikes. And then, you know, he got up to higher levels and they challenged him and he couldn't hit it. So yeah, not all walk rates are created equal, that's for sure.
Yeah. So you had, okay, so continue 3 ups and 3 down, and take that
second. No, that's fine. I didn't mean to hijack the whole thing. I had Juan Centeno, the basically emergency catcher in the system at this point with Rogers hurt. He was, last I checked, he was 8 for 17 with a pair of extra base hits and 2 walks against 1 strikeout. So, hey, you know, just in case something goes wrong, maybe he could survive for a month or so. And then I mentioned Logan Shore was pretty good. He only had 1 appearance. It was like his first in 2 weeks, but 4 1/3 perfect innings with 5 strikeouts. That was that one wild game where they had a no hitter going into the 7th or 8th and then lost like 11-0.
So, oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
I don't know. Are you having trouble hearing me? Am I?
No, yeah, broke up there for a second. Sorry about that.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. And then my down. I'll tell you my down. Cody Clemens was great in July, but he's off to 2 for 25 start in August, but only 6 strikeouts. So maybe there's just a little bit of bad luck there. I don't know. Maybe he's popping out and missing stuff, but it's not like he's, you know, whiffing 50% of the time. Jacoby Jones, last I checked, 5 for 22 with no extra base hits, no walks and 12 strikeouts. So, yeah, we'll see you later. And Alex Lang was the tough one for me. You know, we mentioned Brian Garcia earlier, but the bloom has really kind of come off the rose for Alex Lang, man. You know, he looked really promising in spring training, but they got bombed in the majors. And right now he's rocking a 5.94 ERA in AAA. He's got last week, one inning pitch, four hits, three walks, or three earned runs, two walks. He's walking a batter an inning in AAA, which is not going to work. And I don't know. He didn't strike me as a guy who's going to struggle with, you know, control that much, but I don't know. That's been his bugaboo so far.
So mentioned, so the three up, three down for me would be, of course, we mentioned Christian Stewart being one of them. The other one, I in terms of like from a standpoint of, I was looking at kind of, again, the Toledo's pitching has been kind of super hit and miss, whether you look at the, just kind of the splits of what the, how it's been looking. I would go with the other pitcher would be Drew Carlton. Drew Carlton in the last, I mean, he's been pretty effective coming out of the bullpen, whether he's just kind of found his niche. And he was doing fine until this. I said Drew Carlton. Then I realized that he's had kind of like a rough week. But before that, he was actually pitching pretty well and kind of finding a rhythm a little bit. Yeah, was pitching six innings, but he's allowed three runs this week. So it's kind of hit him up. But his strikeouts are up. His walks are down. So I'm still going to put him on there because, I mean, Carlton at one point is considered a Tiger reliever that was going to get called up. And so, and then the other one I would have put is, since he's returned, is Will Vest. Will Vest, four innings, four hits, one run, seven strikeouts, two walks. He's picked up, I believe, a save. So he closed out a save. And, I mean, he was also, I also put in consideration in running Miguel Depozo, who is on the 40-man roster. Six innings, two hits, one run, and seven walks so far in the series, in the last 2 weeks, rather. So that's worth some consideration. The down would be Mark Leiter Jr. And I know we were talking about him last week, and he's been off to, you know, he's put up some numbers. But again, the fit, you know, FIP is kind of high. 10 innings, 12 hits, three walks, 11 strikeouts. But again, this is a guy who's pitched in the majors before. He would have an opportunity. If he was, he would be there. So I don't know. I'm still kind of on the fence about him. I'm not on the fence about him at all. Actually, I don't think he's going to get some opportune time unless there's a major injury. The other player I was going to put on there, he's cooled off a little bit, is Yariel Gonzalez, who I'm still sure he's been kind of struggling. 118, 167, 118. That he showed earlier in the year is also kind of in the last month or so. And the last player being on that would be the guy who's coming up just now, Nico Goodrum.
Yeah.
Again, Zach Short made a boo-boo play today, but Goodrum's coming up. And I don't know, so you said that on the podcast and about him not being here too much longer. But, I mean, I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy about it, but he's still kind of in AAA, six strikeouts, two walks, and 19 at bats.
Yeah, you know, you don't know if he's just getting his timing back or whatever, but I think I said that Zach Short is kind of pretty similar to Nico Goodrum. He's going to be a guy who will show you the ability to be an above average shortstop. I think Nico's probably more consistent on defense, but they're both pretty limited on offense. Nico's a little bit more utilitarian, I guess. He can play more positions, or at least he has. But he's also going to be more expensive in a very cheap sort of way. He's going to be like $4 million or $3 million or something like that. And Zach Short's going to cost you $600. So I think this is probably it for Nico, unless he goes on a tear down the stretch, which he might. You know, he's got a lot of talent, but, you know, just can't stop striking out, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. I was actually a little bit surprised that they like made the move and didn't just, you know, kind of cut bait a little bit. But 2 months left in the season, you know, Zach Short, I think that was his first option. Maybe he had one earlier in the season. I can't remember.
I think he had another option beforehand.
Yeah. So, I mean, he had him available. So, you know, no harm, no foul, I guess, to ride these 2 months out and see what happens in the offseason.
Yeah. So, Dick, do you have a three up, three down, or you want to throw another name in the hopper?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the same names you guys are talking about. I actually wrote about, you know, Stewart and Nunez, and I kind of framed it around, you know, these guys are closer to a call up than we realize. And I don't think, you know, it's a situation where either could, you know, play their way into a call up necessarily. I think it's one of those situations where if there's an injury in the outfield, for example, or if there's an injury and Miguel Cabrera goes on the IL or something like that, I think, you know, Nunez would be probably one of the first names to come up. So, you know, those are two of mine. And kind of like you said, you know, Stewart, I know he's not, you know, super high average, but a lot of home runs, a lot of power, a lot of walks. That's kind of what we wanted out of him, you know, all along. So he's kind of continuing to do that at the AAA level, which is kind of neat. And I don't know, I wouldn't mind necessarily seeing him again just to see if anything's changed at the big league level. My third for the stock rising or ups or whatever was Locke St. John. And he's somebody who's had a strong season, you know, all through the minors, and it's been kind of quiet, but he's been quietly effective in their bullpen. And it's something that they've desperately needed is some reliable relief help throughout the minors. But 2.81 ERA, he struck out 47 in 40 innings, and he's got some funk, you know, it's a left-handed arm. He's got some deception. So it's been kind of neat to see, and maybe he can carve out one of those John Schreiber kind of careers where he reaches the big leagues. So that's my up. For my down, I had Brian Garcia as well. Just kind of a bummer. We kind of thought he might be a middle inning kind of setup arm, kind of what we've seen Kyle Funkhauser develop into at the big league level. Hasn't really happened for him. So that's been a little bit disappointing. And then Nolan Blackwood as well. That was a guy that many were kind of seeing as a dark horse bullpen arm on the roster. And it hasn't really gone that well for him in Toledo. I got some looks at him at the alt site this spring as well. Didn't really stand out to me, unfortunately. But Nolan Blackwood is kind of struggled at the AAA level. And then to echo, you know, Jacoby Jones, he was, you know, just in 2020, one of the better hitters on the team. And then fast forward, you know, a year later, essentially, and he's not on the big leagues and he's not really fighting his way to get back. So kind of a bummer to see Jacoby Jones kind of fall. But I don't know it. I don't know if it's a mechanical issue. He seemed to have things kind of figured out offensively, and it has not been there. He's not hit the big league level at his brief stay, and he's not hit in Toledo at all either. So,
yeah, it could be a mental thing too, being down there. And speaking of mental, after Robbie Ross Jr. had one of his worst appearances, he retired.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would necessarily say that, you know, speaking of mental, but yeah, I mean, it
took him mentally toll on. I'm not making fun of the dude.
Yeah. No. I get what you're saying. And you're probably right. It's probably like, man, what am I doing? This is how old is he? Like 31, 29, something like that. Like, I can't get these guys out. It's time to go into real estate or head back to the ranch or whatever he's going to do. Because he saw some big league time. And I imagine it's got to be really tough to do that, to get up to the big leagues, to, you know that you can get big league hitters out occasionally, but not quite enough. And then just fight and fight and fight to get back there and have it not work. Yeah, it's got to be really tough to give up. But, I don't know. Kudos to him for a career, and maybe he'll come back. Maybe he won't, but
or maybe he'll
gave it his all. Yeah.
There you go. So now it's time for three up, three down in Erie. Jake, I'll let you start this one.
Yeah, sure. So Bo Brisky is my first guy. You know, we've had two straight starts, his most recent through seven innings, and it's he's been that kind of pop-up guy that you weren't really expecting to come out and perform, but he's done nothing but shove through West Michigan, and now we've seen it in Erie, which is kind of exciting. It's kind of a touch and feel profile. You know, he's not going to overpower anybody, but he has enough feel with his three pitches that he throws to kind of, you know, navigate through a lineup, and it's been kind of impressive. And it's one of those things where you weren't really expecting much, probably an organizational kind of soldier arm that would be up and down. You know, he has a shot to make a big league appearance or two. So that's kind of neat. And then I'll go to Riley Green, who's made some dazzling defensive plays and also started to hit for some power, which has been cool. He went quiet there for a little bit, but he seems like the last week or so he's really picked up offensively, which is exciting to see. It'll be interesting to see if the organization decides to make a late season call up to AAA. That'll be kind of fascinating. I wouldn't be surprised either way. My gut says they'll lean to just keep him in Erie this season, but that'll be an interesting kind of conundrum, I guess. And then Shintouf, Yaya Shintouf has done well in Erie as well. Kind of the same thing as Brisky, where he started in West Michigan, you know, pitched well there, and you're like, okay, let's give him a little challenge and see what he's got. And he's done nothing perform in Erie as well. And again, same thing. They're just now kind of starting to get some arms, some starters in Erie. They were lacking that so badly there for a little while, where, you know, it seemed like every other day was a bullpen day. And he's been a steady Eddie out of the pen for the Seawolves. So that's my three.
Nice.
All right, Chris, what about you?
So I had Bobrisky on there too. And I wrote that, I was first ID'd by you guys. I feel like maybe specifically you, Jake. I don't know. I think we were all at that game. I think that was the game where I was working the stopwatch poorly, but this is two starts in Erie, 13 innings, two earned runs, one walk, eight strikeouts. Now, you know, not too much into the stats, obviously, but this is a guy who obviously knows how to pitch, and he's got three pitches. I mean, the fastball is kind of low 90s. I think we've seen him touch 94, maybe 95. I don't know. Mm-hmm. The changeup seems like a legit above average pitch.
It's
really his out pitch, and he's got a usable breaking ball. Like, it's not terribly consistent, and it's a little bit loopy at times, mm-hmm. but I don't know. Like you said, Jake, I think there might be a big leaguer here. It may be in that kind of like surprise Spencer Watkins role. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, look, what do you know? He knows how to pitch enough to make it work in the big leagues for a little bit, mm-hmm. or maybe like a Buck Farmer style reliever who kind of leans on the changeup and throws a little bit harder out of the bullpen. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't guarantee it, but he's definitely a guy I would throw on the back end of, like, you know, if we were doing a top 50 prospect list, I'd throw him down toward the bottom and say, all right, this is somebody to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I was expecting to see like Montero or like somebody when we showed up in West Michigan. And when I saw him, I was kind of like, okay. You know, it wasn't anybody that I was watching. He wasn't on my radar at all. But as we watched him kind of navigate through the Loons lineup for the Dodgers, you know, that I kind of turned my head a little bit and started to watch him a little bit closer. And yeah, it's an interesting kind of arm. Nice little pickup.
And keep in mind too, that Great Lakes lineup was at its prime. You had Vargas.
Yeah.
Andy Pajes. So this is Great Lakes at its peak, mm-hmm. and he was able to navigate the lineup pretty well.
Yep.
Yeah. I also mentioned Green, but you already got to him. The lineup there in Erie has picked up pretty well. Ryan Kreidler's been really hot for the last week or two. This week he was 333, three doubles, mm-hmm. a homer, four walks, eight strikeouts. It's nice to see. Andre Lipsius, Rogers guy. Also 333, a couple doubles, a home run, five walks, six strikeouts, and Josh Lester, Mr. Erie himself, 368, three doubles, three homers, four walks. Again, maybe it's the competition with Harrisburg, but I think that lineup was mostly picking it up. Although I don't know if you want me to get in my down.
Yeah, go ahead, because we all can contribute on that. Yeah.
So. My first down is Spencer Torkelson, which maybe doesn't look great after he hit a homer and a double today.
Call him up, Chris.
Two strikeouts too.
Yeah. I mean, so, I put out the little tweet the other day about like, hey, you know, if Spencer Torkelson becomes Rhys Hoskins, I mentioned Riley Green and Dylan Dingler too, but I got a lot of pushback on that. And somebody tweeted at me and said, that's the worst comp I've ever seen for Torkelson. And I was like, really? Is it really?
Because you weren't making a comp, and in fairness to you.
No, I mean, I think it's kind of like a 50th percentile. Like, hey, this is what if. I mean, it's basically trying to come up with a league average or slightly above average first baseman in the majors. And Hoskins is a guy who's going to hit 240 to 250, walk a ton, not strike out outrageously, but still 20%+. And hit 25, 30, 35 home runs. And I was like, that seems viable for Spencer Torkelson. I don't see why that's crazy. But, he's hitting, what's he hitting right now? 230, 235, 16% walk rate. So he's walking a ton, but the strikeout rate's up to 25% in Double A. So, and he just, I don't mean that he's bad, but he's just, even after today, he's got 192, 364, 385 so far in August. So two doubles, a homer, seven walks, but 14 strikeouts and 26 at bats. it's something we discussed before privately, but it's, he seems like he could be one of those very volatile hitters who might turn nuclear for like 3 weeks and just crush everything. And then otherwise just kind of, he's going to work counts, but strike out a lot and not do a whole lot of damage. He doesn't really chase that I've seen, but he misses a lot of pitches in the zone and not always great pitches, which is a little bit concerning to me, but whatever. Anyway, that's my diatribe there. The other down, unfortunately, is Dylan Dingler. Now he is down with injury literally right now with a fractured finger, but he'd been struggling for a month plus now. I was checking out his stats since the month started, or last 30 days. He's hitting 149, 240, 254, 9-for-67 with a double, 2 homers, 3 walks and 25 strikeouts. And, one of the last games I watched, it looked like he was swinging a bat underwater. So I don't want to just completely chalk it up to him being tired, but he sure as hell looked really tired to me. So I don't know. I think maybe he's not quite as advanced as a hitter as I had hoped, but I do think he's probably just really tired. And I also mentioned Kerry Carpenter, who you guys went and saw, and you're like, yeah, I don't think so. It was fun to see him get off to a hot start this year because, maybe the Tigers got one, but yeah, he had that 841 OPS in May. And since then, it's been 608, 634, and 568 so far in August. So, yeah, the book's out on him. Maybe it was just a hot start. And on the pitching side, Elvin Rodriguez, same kind of deal. Had a 1.40 ERA in May, but it was 743 in June, 887 in July, and so far it's 1350 in August. So, he probably needs to head to the bullpen at some point, but I really don't know if his stuff is going to work in the bullpen either, unfortunately. So that's my several up and several down in Erie.
Well, on the three up, three down for me, it would be Yersan Moreno, who has pitched better as of late. Seven innings, 5 hits, 3 runs, 12 strikeouts and only 1 walk. So that's important because a lot of the you look at guys like Chavis Fernandez, who I'm still high on, but he's had a kind of rough couple of weeks. He's been walking and he's kind of a 2-pitch pitcher, but Moreno, he's been on a board before and he's a guy who has some stuff. So to see him pull around a little bit is ideal. And another guy who hasn't been walking anybody, Joe Navajon, in his last 7 innings, 5 hits, 1 run and 11 strikeouts. And this is a guy who's still considered, he's still giving me an order guard, but still that's a pretty good stretch for him. And he's got out of his way. He's had a start, he's had a couple bullpen appearance starts kind of like that earlier in the I believe in July I remember him starting a bullpen start because it's always TBA with Erie. And the other one I want to mention too, you talked about Ryan Kreidler, of course, and Andre Lipsius, who's seemed to find that groove a little bit where he might be down for a week, but comes back up again. That's a consistent thing. And John Valenti is still hitting pretty well. Nice. Valenti again, three walk, he's batting 429, 529, 500 is a slash line. Excuse me, that'll work in his last 14 at bats. And again, if you look at it from a grand scheme of things, from a 2 weeks perspective, he's picked it up quite a bit, but still in the last 2 weeks, 294, that'll work. This is a guy who again kind of has that org soldier really all over him. Brady Porcelli was the Eastern player or the whatever division player of the week last week. So
you know what, we should just call it by what they used to be called. Seriously. Yeah,
screw it.
It's the Eastern League player of the week. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know what division it is.
Yeah, you guys know what we're talking about.
Yeah, you know what we're talking about. So, yeah. And then my down would be Henry Martinez, who they picked up from Cleveland, who I expect a little bit more out of, but he hasn't really done anything.
Did we see him on Toledo?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Not much. Yeah, that was his first appearance in Toledo when we saw him, I believe. Yeah.
Because that Justin Kidd was with us, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Justin Kidd.
Justin Latta.
Justin Latta. Insider.
Justin
Ladd is a legend. I love that kid.
Good dude.
Sorry. Very good. That. Him and Patrick, who will be on this week. I like those guys a lot. I like that Indians website, period. They got some really good folks over there. They go to games and stuff but the other Joey Wentz. I'm sorry. Joey Wentz has been again struggling with walks. 7 innings in the last 2 weeks, 5 walks. He's got a whip of 1.83. Again, it's just, it's come back from Tommy John. We're not being super critical of it, but that's something worth mentioning. It just seems like there's glimpses of it but it's not consistent. And so that's been kind of a an issue for him.
Yeah, I think more and more we're starting to see how, you know, everybody handles Tommy John a little bit differently.
Right.
And just because they're healthy enough to get on the mound and throw the ball doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be effective right away. You know,
yeah,
we kind of saw that with Michael Fulmer a little bit, and now he's legitimate, you know, high leverage relief arm for him. So I don't know. It's I think I'd be more, a little more, you know, critical, a little more interested, a little more, you know, kind of paying attention more to Joey Wentz come next spring. So,
yeah, you know, I was spying his start two starts ago, I think. And he was putting out, he had struck out like five of the first eight batters he faced or whatever.
Yeah.
But then he started really having trouble putting guys away. And it was like, he was throwing strikes, but it was like foul after foul after foul. I think, you know, it's for whatever it is, the crispness of your pitches or the, you know, being able to execute exactly where you want just isn't quite there. So like you said, Jake, I he's a guy, I thought we might see him in Detroit this year. I think that would be pretty ugly if they brought him up. So let him get his rest. Maybe he's an Arizona Fall League guy. I don't know. And then, you know, check him out spring training next year. And I think he'll probably be a little bit better.
And I don't think it's a velocity issue. You know, at one point in the, what was that? The Brave system, where he was down in 88 kind of area. And he's kind of solved that a little bit. So he's hit 95 from what I've seen.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a velocity issue. I think it's a crispness issue.
Yeah.
It can be just an issue of command too, because I watched the game last week, this last start. And again, he was able to early on attack the strike zone pretty well, but then everything started getting elevated. It was like high and away kind of thing for him. So it just could be, it's just going to take some time. And as Walter said, who just made a comment on YouTube, it was a long recovery for JV and but then JV also got the other doctors look at it, took care of his issues. So
he's kind of standard Tommy John recovery from what I understand. Right.
Right.
Well, yeah. I don't know if Walter's talking about his injury back in like 2016, 2015, the triceps or whatever.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. That could be
because the Tommy John, he's still recovering from it. We don't really know.
That was a core muscle issue, right? Back in 2014.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, 2016. Okay. So yeah, anything when you're a pitcher and injure anything, you know, I imagine it's tough mentally to feel like you're ready to let go. I think that was a big thing with Fulmer too. You know, remember he was trying to pitch for like differently because he didn't want to put pressure on his knees. And then eventually it was just like, you know what, just let it go. And I think, you know, once you can do that, that's fine. But
yeah, not to go on a tangent, but I kind of alluded to it when I was scrolling through my Twitter. I ran across something and it's like, it's so amazing how these guys can throw, you know, 100 pitches and then turn around 2 days later and then throw a bullpen. And then, you know, another 2 days later, go again on the mound. It's like, man, these guys are just throwing all the time. And a lot of times it's, you know, with intent, with high effort, you know, they're trying to get guys out. And it's fascinating and amazing. That was my house, by the way. There's a motorcycle going by. Gotcha.
But it was a banshee.
It could have been. I don't know. But it's one of those things where when you're a pitcher, you use everything. You know, you use your arms, you use your legs, you use your core, you use, you know, anything possible to get that ball as hard and as crisp as you can to home plate. So long story longer. Yeah, it's one of those things where if you have anything that goes wrong, it can be a tough road back.
Yeah.
So we moved to West Michigan, and we were there out there Friday. Let's talk about that before. Well, we'll do the three up, three down, then we'll talk about what we saw at West Michigan. Finally got the last cap of my collection. So now I have
Sharp, man.
It's really sharp, dude. This is something that's not been stock every time I come out there, and so now I have this is hat number 8 West Michigan. I think it's out of every minor league team, and they do a really good job with their hats there. So
it gives off like Flint Tropics vibes.
Yeah, that's a good call.
From Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, that's a good call. I like that. So in terms of three up, three down, Chris, where are you?
Well, I think, you know, you've let us go first. And you were there, you were, charting. Yeah, Reese Olson. That's what I, you know, let's hear you talk about Reese Olson.
Well, so it's a mean, so I have my note. I have the all the notes here, and I've been working on the report all day. But like I said, until I was telling the guys earlier ahead of time, which was really driving me nuts, is in terms of putting the video onto my iMac so I could edit it versus going on my phone and constantly going like this on iMovie, which I do for some of the clips. I wanted to edit on my computer and get that done, but it hasn't worked. And so I will have to do it on my phone tomorrow. But what I was talking about this with Chris, and Chris and I were going back and forth about, was trying to figure out whether he was throwing a slider or a changeup. And I sent the video over to Chip, the one that I did in slow-mo you can find on Twitter, and it looks like it was a slider. And he, if you have it, I don't know if you guys out there, do yourself a favor. Every Sunday, David Loria puts out his Sunday notes, and it's probably the best, most consistent article out there. He gets a lot of insight, a lot of interesting tidbits from the minor leaguers that you don't really hear very often. You know, he actually goes out and goes to ballparks and gets stuff that's really useful. And it's kind of, it's a cool thing. And he talked to Reese about that and talked about a slider. And it's a slider, a pitch that just had him throw as of last year for the Brewers. But from what I saw, I thought that there is some reliever risk in a sense that that wind up, you know, the head return happened. There's some deception when he comes back down. And Dayton could not get on top of it. They had really just weak contact. He had two hits. I believe it was two hits, Chris.
I think, yeah, either two or three.
Yeah, two or three hits. One, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to check while you were talking.
So one of them was like a guy put the bat out, got lucky, put it over in left field. One was kind of the same thing, like one was solid contact in the right. But in terms of his pitch variety, I thought he did a really good job establishing his fastball. His fastball is coming in at 94, 93, 95, 95, 96. Early on, and then we saw it taper off towards the second, third inning a little bit, which is why I thought about the reliever risk, because the fastball was not, velocity was dropping a little bit. Change up around 85, 86, had some good firmness to it. On the fastball on lefties, was riding some good arm action on it, and was able to get some good rung side action. The slider looked really good. The curveball, which was at 76 to 79, really, it broke kind of, like, didn't really, I don't know, like, I still don't think he was trying to pitch it in there as kind of like keep him honest, but it didn't really do a lot of 12 to 6 action. It was very, maybe, you know, like 12 to 3. It just kind of broke in there, but it didn't really snap it off. He couldn't snap it off effectively. His slider, his changeup, we're pretty good. Were they plus? You know, I guess from what baseball or Fangraphs was saying, it was plus. I thought slider's really good. His fastball is really good. Changeup, there was fine. And I think that he was able to keep, it was the best start I've seen out of any West Michigan pitcher this year, because he worked quickly. He had some really quick innings. And again, Dayton, I know Dayton's not a really good hitting team, comparatively speaking to the other affiliates in the Red system. But overall, I thought he did a really good job keeping off balance. So, again, there's going to be a live look right up, breaking down the pitches more on base or Prospects Live, and I'll probably do some for Motor City Bengals as well. But I don't know. I was impressed by him. I thought he went out there. Just how young he looks. I mean, he looks like he's 16, and but he was out there throwing gas, and 96 on there on the gun early on. What's a good indication of it? So I thought the Tiger did a really good job. They did their homework, and I think he'll play. I think he does have some reliever risk, but I think he'll be fine. So, go ahead, Chris, what are you going to say?
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, I basically echoed everything that you said, except, I thought it was the changeup that it was his best pitch, but this sounds dumb, because I know what a changeup looks like, but I know what a slider looks like, but we couldn't decide is that a changeup? Is that a slider? I couldn't decide. Whatever it was the one that was like 85 to 87.
Well, and it would probably be the changeup, because I think I heard some interviews with Reese where he said he thought that the changeup was his best offering, basically.
It was whatever that pitch was. It was the one that got him the most swings and misses. I think he had five swings and misses on that. Yes. And
kind of five. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think just a I mean, this is going to sound a lot like what Raj wrote, but I wrote down, so I might as well say it. I thought he looked pretty darn good. It was open 94, 96 in the first, settled in at like 93, 94. I think he hit 95 once in the second, but the rest of the game was basically 93, 94. Six scoreless. You can't, can't argue with that. Fastball, it seemed like it was best when he worked up and down with it, but it's definitely a pitch, I think, has a little bit of arm side run. We were talking about that. It seemed to be on the lower end of the velocity band. So like 92, there'd be a little bit more. So I don't know if he was maybe throwing a two and a four seam. We weren't up in the booth at that point to check the spin and so forth. It definitely, the fastball seemed more like a barrel misser than a bat misser. Like I think he got one swing and miss on the fastball that I can recall. He did get a couple called strikeouts, I think, with it.
He was able to move it inside. Yeah.
And then, I thought that the best pitch was that 85 to 87 slider, which could have been the changeup. I was calling it a slider. 81 to 83, like Raj said, a couple swings and misses on that. I thought whatever the slider was, he did a good job of locating it away for right-handed hitters. Like I don't remember him hanging any of them. I also don't remember him throwing any to lefties. So it might just be an exclusively thing. And then in the fourth inning is when he broke out the curve, which was kind of strange because he didn't throw any of them. And then he threw like six to the first batter in the fourth. Uh-huh. And like Roger was saying, it's a little humpy. You can ID it. It doesn't have a ton of snap. It's a decent fourth offering, I guess, something to just kind of make guys think. Overall, it seemed like, I mean, he only walked one guy, and that was after fairly long at bat, but it did seem more like a control over command. You know, I don't think he was like really, you know, nailing his spots. But he definitely he was kept the hitters off balance. You could tell because I think it was right like, here. are you showing some video there?
Yeah. Showing the slot.
That looks like the slider to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me see. So I don't remember when this, yeah. I mean, that's definitely a slider. I just don't remember which AB that is.
That's the bat where he struck him out and the guy went to second and advanced to, he ran a second.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
But yeah, in your defense, guys, I mean, if you throw a slider that kind of backs up on you, it'll have that kind of fade that a changeup has. So if he was locating arm side, you know, it would be kind of difficult to differentiate the two in your defense.
Yeah, no. Well, and I wasn't trying to, like, I was trying to figure out exactly how to call that picture or that pitch because I showed that to Chip and he even understood the argument we were both having, not argument, but the debate we're having.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would just say like, I felt like it was mostly fastball changeup because of the outs that he was getting.
Yeah.
Like,
gotcha.
Like the majority of the outs were either ground balls to the left side or fly balls to the right side. Like literally, I think six of each. So it was like, I think, you know, he's keeping the hitters off balance. And I think the change was, you know, good arm speed, good deception there. Deception on his delivery overall, it's not like traditionally deceptive where, I don't know if that makes sense, but like it wasn't like hiding the ball or anything like that, but he's got right. that funky delivery that I think might mess with some hitters. And
I'm kind of spitballing, and this is kind of like off the cuff basically, but are there a lot of like Buck Farmer attributes there?
It does feel like that. There's a little bit of like violence in the delivery. I didn't notice like a pronounced head whack, but I wasn't really, you know, honing in on that. I did get some open side footage. It definitely looks a little funky from the open side too, but mm-hmm. I don't know. Like I think they'll keep him starting. It does just feel like a relief profile to me. And one that mm-hmm. could be pretty interesting if he's, you know, he's touching 96 in the first, you could see him touching 97, 98, maybe in his prime. And then, you know, you got the suite of three distinct secondary offerings. Like we said, the curve doesn't seem all that great, but if you've got it, and the slider and the change both look above average at times. So I think he could definitely be an interesting relief arm. So it was nice to get out there. And as Raj said, it was one of the better starts they've seen. I think Nate Wengler told us it was the longest start of his career, actually.
Yes, it was. Yeah. And I thought, again, his fastball had some really good tailing action. And we saw something else too on Friday too. We saw Zach Haskell three innings, which was part,
yeah.
Which was something that we're not used to seeing him do. And for that, that was crazy.
It's just super annoying because I'm not picking on him, but like, you know, the extra inning rules, he was just nothing but like sack flies, just sack fly after sack fly after sack fly, one run. It was like, ah, they kept scoring one run. And then finally Jared Tobey came in there and I think he struck out the side or maybe struck out two and got a fly out. And then the Caps were able to win. But yeah, it was, yeah, he came in there and he walked the first batter. And then there was, this, you know, you'd never want to do that in the seventh inning of a doubleheader. Walked the first batter and then the
threw one away.
There was a throwing error. Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, in that game, we didn't mention it when we talked after the game, but Daniel Cabrera had a pretty huge two out RBI double to tie the game. I don't remember what inning it was. It was one of the extras. Maybe it was the seventh. I don't know.
I think it was the seventh inning. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, beyond that, there just wasn't a whole lot to talk about. One of my other ups, I just like watching Eric De La Rosa play. We didn't get a chance to see him play, but you know, I've watched him play on TV a couple more times, and he's just a catalyst, you know, in that kind of Derek Hill, Akil Badu mode where he's going to hit, you know, spray the ball to the gaps and run like crazy. And it's fun to watch. I don't think it's going to work at higher levels unless he cuts down on the strikeouts. But at the same time, he's made some pretty large strides since 2019. So, and he's a good athlete, so I won't count out anything. But I don't know. His numbers aren't.
Get a little league run yesterday.
Yeah, he's a fun player to watch. So.
The other pitcher I want to mention that's been good has been Garrett Hill, who's kind of picked up the slack a little bit. In terms of Bo Brisky, he's in the last couple of starts. His last three starts, 18 innings, 15 hits, 3 runs, 19 strikeouts, and 5 walks. And that's kind of been pretty good with him, and along with Bryce Tassin. When Tassin was at Latham, wasn't he, until recently?
I think so. I think he got called up like 3-4 weeks ago. But yeah, he was, I don't remember much about him.
Maybe Jesus Rodriguez, maybe when he got moved up to Erie.
Yeah, that you know what, Jake, that sounds right. And then the other one I wanted to mention in terms of the hitting department outside of De La Rosa, it's kind of
it's not great.
Not great.
So not great. Jake, I don't know if you want to mention anybody.
No, I mean, you guys hit them on them all. I was going to talk about Reese Olson just because, you know, A, he did well, but it's the shiny new toy effect as well. De La Rosa has done. You know, he's been the steady kind of, like you said, like the catalyst for West Michigan the entire season. And it almost kind of begs the question if he's going to get a call up before the end of the season. And then Garrett Hill as well, 2.11 ERA. He's got 60 strikeouts in 47 innings, which is pretty cool. Wow.
Yeah.
So those are my ups. My downs are Danny Cabrera, who is, I think, still currently ranked number 6 on Pipeline's top 30 list before the draftees get added. I assume there might be some changes there. Gage Workman, who just hasn't really figured it out, and with the stick especially, and he's kind of made, you know, the routine plays defensively, but he hasn't really been challenged a whole lot. He's made a couple of nice plays up the middle, but it wasn't really kind of as advertised with either of those guys. And then I was going to mention Jose King as well for my down, who's just, again, he's kind of struggled all year. It hasn't really been fruitful. And we keep waiting on the breakout to happen, but it would be nice to see some type of signs of life for Jose King, and they're just not really there. So it's been kind of a little bit of a bummer, but those are my ups and my downs for West Michigan.
Yeah. I had Meadows, Cabrera and Workman as well. It was interesting watching Workman the second time we've seen him in person. And he really seems terribly fooled on just about every breaking ball and changeup that he gets thrown. And I shouldn't say everyone, but it's like he expects a fastball every time he gets the first pitch. It just swings like crazy. And it's like, whoop. He did adjust. Like if they would double up on him, he'd be like, all right, I see it now. But it's like, I don't know. I'm not giving up on him or anything like that, but I think it's going to be a pretty long adjustment period for him. He did get a double in the second game. No, was it the second game? I don't know.
Second game.
The doubleheaders. It bleeds together. But it was kind of like he poked it down the left field line. And yeah, I mean, he still shows the speed. He motors around the bases. It's fun to watch him, you know, when somebody else gets a hit. And yeah, we didn't see him get challenged at shortstop. It's kind of a reminder of what is important at shortstop. If you're watching the Tigers and you see Zach Short and you go, all right, yeah, he can play shortstop and probably at an above average level, but you need to make all those plays. You can't be making mistakes and tiny little bad throws and things like that. And I think Workman needs more time there too. Yeah. I think he's a guy who's going to stick in West Michigan for the rest of the season and probably start there again next year. I would expect. And Meadows, it's just the same story with him, man. He it's weak contact to left field. He actually hit a pop up in this game. It was weird. He hit a pop up and then Raj tapped me and was like, hey, look at that. And he had to be like helped off the field a little bit. But then he went out and played in the outfield for another inning. And then they pinch hit for him. And that's how we ended up with Ray Rivera playing right field in that game. And Cole McLaren, the backup catcher, playing first base. It was kind of wild. And then Cole McLaren, of course, gets the walk-off hit, which was kind of a cool moment. Yeah, right as we were like, yeah.
Yeah, that was
kind of he's like in front of two him. For I go, 15.
I go, watch this, because the guy in front of him goes, man, this guy stinks. He's like, you know, whatever. And I go, watch this. He'll probably get the game-winning hit here. And it actually sure happened. Yeah, sure funny. Enough. And so yeah. That was funny yeah. Laughing about it.
It was fun. We, as we tend to do, we met some cool people around us. The there were two couples in front of us. They had a little kid, and the guy was like, "Oh, I just." Raj handed him the card. He's like, "I was just reading the site today." I think he read your piece, Jake.
Yeah, he read your piece. He mentioned the Cabrera piece. He mentioned how he's like, "Oh yeah, that was whoever did that Cabrera piece. Really well done." You know, I saw the adjustments too. I'm like, "Yeah, that's Jake." And right. And then he awesome. Top 20 prospect list too. So
awesome. Well, neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then an older guy saw that we were charting pitches and stuff and came down and started talking to me about his 15-year-old son and like how to like his son's been telling him like, yeah, dad, you got to get my videos out there and stuff like that. And he's like, I don't know what the hell to do. What do you guys have any idea? And so
flat ground, so right? Flat
yeah, ground, so I was talking to him and I'm like, hey, you know, I just told him to like, you know, look into PBR and perfect game and stuff, get him out to showcases and things like that. But he's 15 and he hasn't hit like puberty yet. Like not to be mean or anything like that. He's still a small kid.
Wait,
like,
that was 15.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. He just hadn't grown yet, but the dad was like, you know, 6 feet tall and like, you know, my size. So he's going to grow. But like I said, it was, I don't know, it's just fun to meet people. What was weird is I don't think we saw a single scout. No. I don't remember seeing a single radar gun or anybody taking notes in the stands, which is kind of wild. I mean, I guess, you know, it's after the trade deadline, but still you'd think that somebody would be there checking out Olsen with us, but I didn't notice anybody. So it was kind of wild.
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with the fact that the way the draft occurred and there's a lot of complaints about how it stacked up in July and then they kind of wish it was June and a lot of guys were hitting the road and they're pretty tired. So maybe it was just a little vacation, but yeah, even the only person I saw that was like, any type of capacity was a Dayton photographer who was going back between the press box and then downstairs. But other than that, yeah, it was a shout out to Melissa too, who at Half Triple 3, she is a hardcore minor league. She donates money. She does a lot of charitable stuff for the minor leaguers.
She said adopted several players. Yeah.
She's adopted several
players, as it were.
And she was giving us updates on poor Daniel Brito, who had suffered a stroke on the field. And if it wasn't for the quickness of Lehigh Valley, who knows what would have happened. And he had another surgery and it might look like he might not ever play again. Unfortunately.
I mean, it's
unfortunate.
I mean, at this point, you're just kind of hoping that he regains health and mobility and stuff like that. I mean, that's super scary.
It's the most important thing. And they all were wearing his jersey number. I think that was cool. Yeah, it was very cool. I think it was Friday night and they ended up rallying and winning. So, our thoughts with him. It's unfortunate. But let's breeze through Lakeland real quick because there's a couple things to highlight in Lakeland. I think we're going to be on the same page with a lot of these guys. So Jake Holton doing pretty well. He's one of the he's not really a dude, I guess, but he's been hitting pretty well. What's up?
I think he was the 10th rounder in 2019.
Yeah,
Nick first baseman.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Just the first baseman. I thought he was out of a smaller school. I don't remember exactly those.
Nick Quintana's only playing in the last couple of weeks, only two games, and maybe there's an injury concern again. I'm not sure what's going on with Quintana after he had a really good July. Austin Murr he's already been activated. He's got 10 walks and 3 strikeouts, so
I think we'll see him in West Michigan pretty soon. Yeah.
Yes, I think you're right. Arvelo Gonzalez is actually, I mean, for what it's worth, you know, 219, 444, 344, OPS is 788. But he's seen the ball better. I mean, in terms of the international standpoint, that stands out. A lot of the international players have struggled with seeing or good walks. And Gonzalez is the only one that stands out. You're like, oh, okay, well, he's not striking out a 45% clip. That's cool. It's an exaggeration. But Ben was the other outfielder.
Malgary. I don't know how they pronounce it. But
then Alfonso. The eyes are Alfonso is finding Lakeland pretty well, too.
Yeah, he's got like six homers and hitting 300. And it's like, ah, man. You know, as Chip said, you can see it. You can see why people like the bat. We didn't think the power was really there, and I don't know if it will be at higher levels. And we talked about the defense before; it's not not great, but but it never hurts to have somebody who you can put behind the plate theoretically, and who can also hit. So that's nice to see him performing.
Yeah, and then there's Carlos Igrogan, who's also doing pretty well as an international signee. That's good to see. And then the down. I really wanted this to be a lot better of a story, but Trey Cruz, in the last 2 weeks, 0.095, 367, 190, and an OPS of 557. So I'm not sure what's going on. Him and Kinson Liniak. Liniak's come down to earth a little bit, unfortunately. And it's in terms of even just like from a regular Lakeland standpoint, Jose King back up. Before he went back up or before he went back to West Michigan. And then there's the case of, in terms of pitching wise, you can write a lot of cases for that on the negative side to a certain extent, but Carlos Guzman has kind of looked funky as of late. 18 innings, 24 hits, 12 runs, and he's got a whip of 1.93. He's got 12 walks in 18 innings. Ugh. So he's kind of struggled lately.
That's kind of that conundrum of, you know, it needs to be in the bullpen, but when do you make that transition? You know, because at the end of the day, like a lot of these teams, they just got to get the innings, got to get through nine innings. And what they do at the highest levels is kind of irrelevant for Lakeland right now. You know, it's just a matter of getting them work. But it was one of those arms with Guzman that I think, you know, it was going to be a bullpen profile all the way, but, you know, necessity, they kind of need him to start for now. So it'd be interesting to see if they transitioned him to a bullpen role, how that would change things, or if that would change things.
Yeah, I mean, I do wonder if they'll do that, like, to begin next year in spring training or whatever. And I think, as Chip said, he's like Rule 5 eligible. Maybe you don't want to show him as a reliever and have success and then have somebody pluck him if you don't want to stash him yet. But I don't know. And we didn't mention Colt Keith, who is fun to watch, I guess, in person, and also fun to look at his stats. Mm-hmm. He tore up, you know, he was out for what apparently was COVID protocol, because Florida has been dunked in like a tank of COVID right now. I think like the complex league is like 50% of their games have been bagged because COVID. Like the entire Phillies minor league headquarters is just swarming with it. But in any event, so he came back and played like 3-4 games in the complex league and was like, you know, put like a 2000 OPS. It's like, all right, so this dude, he's clearly far more advanced than that. And then he came back and I think he had a, I don't know, he's been two three games back in Lakeland now.
He had a double and a walk today. He came back on Saturday, so this would have been his second game back.
Yeah, so a double and a walk today. I forgot he did something yesterday too. So I don't know. He's definitely an exciting guy, and I think we all, you know, taking what Chip saw and what kind of numbers he's produced, I think we all had him in our top 10. And I think that's a decent place for him. I mean, I'm looking now, 23 walks, 29 strikeouts, home run. He's starting to hit for a little bit more extra base power. I think that'll be the last thing to come probably, but
yeah.
That's good. And like Raj mentioned, yeah, Kingston Liniak was one of my down guys too. It's just kind of a bummer because it's similar to Parker Meadows, although it feels like Liniak gets to more of his power than Meadows does. It's just the contact and the strikeouts is it's not working out for him, unfortunately. But
yeah. 188 average for Liniak on the air.
Yeah, it's tough. So
yeah, you guys hit on a lot of the players that I mentioned as well, but I don't think there's any that we haven't talked about. But yeah, it's kind of nice to see Colt Keith, and we kind of talked about him last time as well on the podcast. It's kind of an old school hitter. It's what the old school baseball people love. You know, he kind of sprays line drives all around. He'll pull the ball, but he's not, you know, he'll go with pitches as well the opposite way. And he's got some feel for the barrel. And it'll be interesting to see if the power comes around, you know, as he kind of progresses through the minors. But yeah, spoiler alert, he'll definitely be in the top 10 for the updated Prospects Live board.
Yeah, nice. And Skits says hello from Toledo, Ohio. That's nice.
Oh, nice.
Hello, Skits. Maybe you've been here the whole time. Maybe you missed the Mud Hen segment. But yeah, I don't know how much we want to talk about the Complex League stuff or Dominican.
Let's go right in the question. I mean, in terms of the Complex League stuff, really, it's just there's nothing pitching wise or anything like that. I mean, we can do a few highlights, but I think we should go in the question.
Yeah, I mean, Pacheco has played a few games. He's got his first homer out of the way. You know, you look down at the Dominican Summer League stats, you see that Christian Santana and Abel Bastidas are both doing solidly.
Carlos Mendoza is off to a good start, even though I had no idea who that guy was.
Carlos. And Rainer Castillo, the pitcher, the big pitcher sign, he was off to a great start. Well, his last start was not so good, but the first like three or four were fine. So I don't know. That's like Dominican Summer League. It's got to be like a bunch of guys with the tools of fringe major leaguers and the skills of like JV baseball. So it's got to just be a terribly awful watch. But, you know,
when you guys had Goldstein on, he was basically talking about that, right? Because that was part of his job with Houston. And he was saying you're essentially evaluating tools because you can't really look at results at all.
Yeah. So, Jose De La Cruz and Adenso Reyes put up some really nice stats down in the Dominican, and we've seen them struggle pretty mightily. I mean, De La Cruz really struggled in Lakeland, and he's okay in the Complex League. Reyes is still struggling in the Complex League. I mean, we've heard good things, but you know, it's going to take some time. So, yeah, we can get to those questions if you'd like.
Yeah, let's go with those questions.
Where were they? They were on our Twitter, or did we?
They're on Twitter.
All right. Well, I remember you got them.
Yeah, I'm pulling them up right now.
All right.
Show meeting on air. Do, do,
do, do, do. Yeah. Oh, well, I got some Michael Meyer. Is that the one? Kaiser 343. Who are your biggest surprises in Detroit prospects this season? Who are the biggest disappointments? And then he also asked who our selections are for the Arizona Fall League. So surprises, disappointments, AFL.
All right, Jake, why don't you go with your surprises?
Surprises. Dingler was a surprise for me, just because I wasn't really expecting him to have, you know, the defensive chops that he really does. And he's got some feel for the barrel as well. I know he's been scuffling as of late. Now he's on the IL. But Dingler was a surprise for me early on. Other surprises. Campos has been really well. I know we didn't really talk about him, but there are some positive reports coming out of the Complex League. Chip has seen him a couple of times. He likes, you know, what he's seen out of him as well. So that's been encouraging as well. He's been, you know, kind of off the radar and secretive, like oddly secretive as a prospect thus far. Other surprises. I feel like there's more, but I was put on the spot, so I wasn't able to prepare. So I'll leave it at those two. As far as disappointments go, hopefully you guys can kind of wrangle up the stragglers here that I'm missing. Disappointments. I mean, I guess, gosh, it's hard to say that like somebody like Torkelson is a disappointment per se, but I just don't think it was kind of what we were sold. We were told greatest hitter since Mark Teixeira, and the power is insane, and broke Barry Bonds' home run record, and you know he has good power, but it's not this, you know, prolific power that we were kind of expecting to all fields. It's fine. He can be a solid big league player. We kind of talked about that a little bit earlier, but I guess a little bit of a disappointment just because it hasn't lived up to the sky high expectations that were probably unrealistic to begin with. And then for other, I kind of alluded to it a little bit when we talked about West Michigan, but Danny Cabrera has been a little bit of a disappointment for me, just because on draft night, he was kind of sold as this guy that's got a feel for the barrel. And he's kind of a sum of the parts, like sure thing, big leaguer. And the hit tool just hasn't really been there at all this year. So it's been a little bit of a disappointment. So I'll leave it at that.
As far as for biggest surprises and disappointments for myself, disappointments, I'll start negative then go positive. Brian Packard, in a way, because I thought that Brian Packard would be advanced a little bit, but it's been a struggle. He's been struggling with injuries, too. We didn't see him at all at West Michigan. I don't remember seeing him at all. If he would have gotten that opportunity to start first, and he wasn't in either game we saw on Friday.
You guys have missed him twice now, too, right?
Yeah.
I think last time you guys went there, he wasn't playing.
Yeah, he wasn't playing last time either. 2 weeks ago, he wasn't. So it's interesting whether if it's injuries just kind of like plagued him a little bit. So that's a disappointment because everybody's always, I got all the love in the world for Trevor Huth and Scott Bentley, but they always talk about, oh, yeah, he's a great prospect. And, you know, I mean, I know Trevor watches a lot of games. So unless you go out there and, anyways,
I think he's cooled off a little bit, too.
Yeah, he's cooled off a little bit. Yeah. But in terms of another disappointment for me has been, I hate to say this too, but it's Carlos Guzman too, because I expected Guzman to make some sort of, like, he should be in West Michigan by now, mm-hmm. at least in my opinion, in terms of progressing him.
Yeah.
Because West Michigan's been decimated by just every time that they get a good pitcher, they're like, here you go. And Erie's been getting everybody. And I thought that Guzman, at least would make an appearance at West Michigan, but it looks like it might not even happen. Another disappointment for me, as well as kind of taking a step back and in terms of like from a prospect status a little bit, is this is kind of like an easy dunk, like, you know, well Roger, I mean, it's kind of saw this coming, right? I mean, with, you know, Nick Quintana and all that stuff. But in a way, it's still Sam McMillan. I mean, it's a catcher who looks like he's going to be an org guy. And again, we saw him trying to spread the ball at West Michigan a couple of years ago. As a catcher, he's kind of just fallen off the face of the planet. You almost forget he's there, but that's been a disappointment. Like, again, you expect him at some point to do something, but it just hasn't happened. So as far as surprises, I will say there's a lot of them for me. I mean, Ryan Kreidler comes to mind, went for LA. Everybody thought it was a high best of assignment, but he's done really well and continues to surprise me. Andre Lipsius. Only reason why I say that is a big surprise or a surprise for me is because he's still meaning to continue to be consistent and he is showing his versatility. He's better defensively than when we saw him before. I think his glove is played a lot better than when we saw West Michigan. I've seen him now four times live and he's looked sharp defensively. He looks like a guy who could handle any position given to him at a major league level. And I'm going to say this now. I think he's a guy who can be a utility guy. Whether his bat has been, like I said, a fall off the face of the planet, come back up against better competition. It's worked really well. Another surprise to me has been the likes of, in terms of even from like a reliever or from a, not a reliever, but in terms of like an outfield standpoint too, is Robson, because Robson, again, is he going to have an opportunity here? Probably not. It's been continues to that hot streak. Kind of cooled off a little bit, but he's been, you know, playing average. And then the other surprise for me last, and in terms of from a starting, from a pitcher standpoint, you guys mentioned it, is Bo Brisky. Because again, all these like low round guys like Brendan White, him and Garrett Hill have seemed to be performing better as time went on. And so that I will put Bo Brisky along the lines with Brendan White, who I got a chance to do a report for as well. So those are mine.
Yeah, so I don't know, you were cutting out there for me a little bit, but I think I heard you mention Kreidler and Lipsius.
Yeah,
so those were a couple of pleasant surprises for me. We mentioned Colt Keith, you mentioned Bo Brisky. Those are pleasant surprises. Adam Wolf has been a pleasant surprise for me. Not that I think he's necessarily going to be a big leaguer or anything like that, but he was a guy who really, really struggled down in low A 2 years ago.
Yeah,
and then was injured, and he's come back and he's been pitching well. I mean, it's still in West Michigan, but it's the high A level, and I think I said, I made the comparison. It's kind of like a poor man's Tyler Alexander, where it's just like a cutter heavy mix and match, get guys out. But it's been a pleasant surprise just for, you know, for me to see him having success. I also want to mention Derek Hill. I mean, we kind of don't necessarily think about him as being a prospect, but, you know, I mean, he hit that 3-run home run today. We've seen him put together a lot of really good at bats. He's definitely an impact player on the base paths and in defense. And yeah, he's looking more like a viable major leaguer than I thought at any time in like the last 4 or 5 years. So
he's cut his strikeout rate in like half.
Yeah.
At the big level.
If you do that,
he's walking more too.
Yeah, so there's I mean, he's going to be in the mix for starting center field job next year, I think. I mean, you know, Daz keeps getting hurt, unfortunately, and mm-hmm. Badu was probably better off in left field. So, yeah, unless they go out and buy, you know, I don't even know if there are already center fielders on the market. But, yeah, so he's definitely a pleasant surprise. It's pretty cool to see a guy like that come up and have some success. The negatives... on the same level, Matt Manning and Isak Paredes, I think, are pretty disappointing. Matt Manning is, I guess I would say, hugely disappointing. I mean, you get like there's this level of people expecting him. Hey, he's a young pitcher. He's going to figure it out. But it just doesn't feel like that to me at all. It feels like a guy who doesn't have any weapons to get big leaguers out consistently.
Yeah, and with Casey Mize and with Tarek Skubal, we kind of felt like, hey, these guys are ready, and there was kind of some clamor for him to, for Alavila to call them both up, and eventually mm-hmm. it did happen, obviously. With Matt Manning, it was kind of the opposite. Like, there was a lot of people kind of pumping the brakes, kind of like wanting him to stay in Toledo, but they, out of necessity, they had to bring him up. So he's kind of thrown into this big league, you know, kind of scenario. It's kind of bummer.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, you never want to close the... you know, close the book on anybody's career this early, but it just, yeah, it seems like there's a lot more work that needs to be done there. And I really don't know what they can do with what he has right now. It's a super low spin pitches that don't move a ton. And he throws strikes. I'll give him that. He doesn't walk a lot of guys, but man, he was getting hit hard the other day, and it's just tough to see. And with Paredes, you know, it just feels like we've been waiting forever on him. When he does get a chance, he doesn't really hit for power. We got, you know, he got sent back down to Lakeland because of his 6-second run time to first base, which we don't know if either that's his hip or it's his attitude. And either way, it's not great. So I know it's been a bummer. The other guys that I had, Jose De La Cruz was a little bit disappointing in that he ran like a 300 OPS for 2 months in Lakeland. I thought he might survive a little bit better than that. And Wenzel Perez, like, I wasn't really counting on him to be a prospect anymore, but it really does seem like he's just not a prospect at all. Like, you know, we had high hopes for him. He was a top 10 guy a couple of years ago, and I was like, all right, maybe he can figure some things out. But at this point, it just seems like it's, you know, he's on that. I've gone and forgotten the guy. There was a dude, a middle infielder that we used to think was a prospect for years and years. We're like, I can't wait for him to get regular starting. And he just never did. Then he was out of the system. I have to look up who I'm thinking of, but
did he reach the big leagues?
No, he made it to, like, he got to double A, but that was it. Like, it was a guy we were like really waiting on him. Like, all right, he just needs the starting, you know, he needs at bats. And then they're like, then they moved him to double A. You're like, what? And all back down to Lakeland and then back. Yeah. It's like, all right. Okay. So he's just an Orc guy.
Mm-hmm. We had a question about Danny Panero. I saw come up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so I did a quick like Twitter search, and shout out to Keenan, Detroit Tigers minor league tracker, posted a video of a swing that he took on July 31st while he was rehabbing in Lakeland. And they took him out of the game and he was placed on the 60-day IL. So I don't know exactly what's going on, but he was rehabbing, you know, late July and then got injured again. And seems like he's out for the year now. So not sure what's up there. I don't know if you guys know.
Yeah, I awkward swing thing, but I wasn't sure what was going on with that.
Yeah, I mean, he was playing, was he playing for Canada in the Olympic qualifiers? And then, yeah, he played for Canada back in May, then came back, and yeah, I thought he was hurt. And so, unfortunately, we don't often get information about these types of injuries. We're not connected like that.
Yeah, what I mean, Scout tells us. Moments.
Yeah. But, yeah. And then I guess, we all did our ups and downs, or our surprise and disappointments, right? So that was just the Arizona Fall League question, which is
that's tough to tell. I could see Cameron getting some time. Who else did we talk about getting some time there? Maybe Joey Wentz.
Yeah, in general, it's guys who missed portions of the season.
Paul Richardson.
Yeah, that's a good call. It's just tough with pitchers. You don't know because, you know, having missed the whole offseason or the prior season, it's like which pitchers really do need to get more innings? And I mean, I could see Alex Lang going out there maybe. It's just guys who work one inning. Maybe Zach Houston again. I think he's been out there a couple times and he's working his way back.
Right.
What's that?
Ronnie Garcia, if he's healthy.
Possible. Oh, it's a good call. So yeah, it'll be like that. And at the same time, like, I don't know, Spencer Torkelson could go there. Riley Green could go there. Gage Workman could go there. I mean, Workman lives in
Kreider myself.
Kreider could go there. Yeah, any of these guys that just need some more at bats. It's I don't know. There's always like one or two interesting players. Like legit prospects, there's like an interesting relief arm, and then it's two or guys that they just send out there. Like, yeah, here you go. Like Danny Woodrow gets to go again because he's hardly played this year. So something like that.
I even see Cody Clements too.
Very possible. Yeah, because he missed a couple times, so that's a good call too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. It's tough because you got 30 teams sending 5-6 players. It's you know, some of it's, you know, trying to figure out rosters. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's, I don't know, it is kind of strange to think about right now that it's almost the middle of halfway through the month. And so it's the Arizona Fall League is actually not too far away. You think about it. I mean, if you're being, you know, time seems to go by pretty quickly. So,
yeah, I don't even know when it starts October 13th.
Yeah, it's only, it's not too far away. It's just really, really
2 months away.
So was there any other questions or was that it? I believe.
That's all that I saw on Twitter and all that we saw in the question feed here. So,
all right. So on that note, though, there's going to be another minor league report coming out on tomorrow for MotorCityBengals.com. Check out the top 20 board if you have not. If you have any comments about it, let us know over at MotorCityBengals.com or at Tigers Radio Pod. And again, if you get a chance to check out the Dan Hub. The Road to Detroit podcast with him and Tasty. Excellent, excellent observations there. And so I'm going to finish listening to that tomorrow. And so this week in terms of like the schedule wise for the minor leagues, that'll be posted tomorrow on our Tiger Minor League Report Twitter account, which by the way, is now only 60 followers away from surpassing the Motor City Bengals account.
Well.
Wow. So, and by the way, I just want to let me vent for a second here, folks. We can post other people's home runs. I'd love to see the same vigor and reaction for an Adrian or Albert, if I can even say his name,
Adelin Rodriguez.
Rodriguez home run than for a Spencer Torkelson Riley Green home run. Please show the same vigor. Show some respect. I get it. I know they're not prospects, but for Christ's sake, man. You know, in terms of here, okay, and the answer to this question. Until he hits a curveball, because he can't. I mean, the reason why Rodriguez is not up here is because he can't recognize spin. And that is the bottom line. Like, I watched him in the Dominican Winter League in December when I had really no, you know, just watching that. And I was looking at the reports every night. And I watched a lot of Dominican ball, but against the really good top starting pitchers, no, he's not. He's going to go to Japan. There's half these tweets on Twitter that recognize him as like, I'll translate it, like bring him here to Japan. So he might find success there, but not.
Remember yet. we saw that scout from the NPB behind us at the Mudheads game. Yeah.
That's right. No, yeah, great. So please get excited for other things other than Spencer Torkelson and Riley Green. Please. Look, I get it. I get that the future has been rammed down our throat, but there's other prospects to consider here. You should get excited about Ryan Kreidler. I mean, this guy's showing all this power, and somebody on the somebody mentioned at the top on the ticket that Pat Caputo knows what's going on in Erie. Does he ever mention Ryan Kreidler?
No,
you know who? JP Morosi mentioned Kreidler on the show last night. I still, you know, as I mentioned on the show earlier this week, the strikeout rate needs to come down, or else he's not going to find much success at the big league level. But
that's true.
But again, he is a guy who jumped up to double A and he's playing middle infield. He's surviving there and he's hitting for a surprising power. And it's like, yeah, it's somebody at least to get a little bit excited about. I mean,
yeah, come on.
We said it. But it's the same, like, you know, we get it. We get it. You want to see the shiny stars, but we're just trying to cover the minor leagues too. This is there's a lot of guys out there, and just when you don't think that somebody can make it, they turn into Spencer Watkins, like we said before. Just a classic, like, the dude just kept grinding, figured something out, and here he is in the big leagues getting big league batters out. So you never know, man.
Yeah, I mean, anyway, even I think it's for Andre Lipsius, who's had a really consistent season, no one gets excited. I don't get it. I get excited, but that's fine. That's just fine. I mean, because when he's on the bench, so. What were you going to say, Jake? I'm sorry.
I was just going to say we kind of put ourselves through the pain of trying to cover the minor leagues extensively as possible.
Yes.
But, yeah, well, the people that watch from afar, they only know the names of, you know, Green and Torque, which is fine. You know, I don't – it's whatever. But, it's kind of funny, Ryan Kreidler story real quick. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Ryan Kreidler, for a quick sec, I had sent over the roster in the – at the alt site at one of the games, and Chip goes, I think he can hit a little bit. Can he? I was like, yeah, I think so. And then, like, it wasn't 2 minutes later, he hit one out. So it was kind of funny to see. And I'm happy to see that he's doing really well. I think his ceiling is probably like a Don Kelly, and he kind of looks like Don Kelly a little bit, you know, that big, tall, you know, physical kind of profile. But yeah, it's been kind of, fun to see him show out a little bit, especially lately, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway,
yeah, I mean, I really think about it too in terms of what he's been able to accomplish, and in terms of, like, just already at this level. And Don Kelly's a good comp, but I think he might have a little more pop than Kelly, but we'll see. I mean,
I don't think he's as nice. Not as nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so, yeah, we'll be back on Friday, or we'll be back on Thursday with Youper back in the mix. And Jake, thanks so much for joining us and talking minor league baseball.
Yeah, good to see you,
Jake. We'll have you on next Sunday. Until then,
appreciate it.
And, we'll look forward to talking to you again later this week. Have a good week, everybody.